The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Amherst started their calendar year with a loss in Toronto. We'll talk to head coach Mike Leone about that and their next home matchup coming up here Friday night at Blue Cross Arena against Laval. But it meant first Happy New Year, Coach. We haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks, and a lot has changed in the organization over those last couple of weeks. How are you? How is the team? How has everybody been adjusting here to some of the changes, you know, that are obviously out of your control, but a big part of what's going to be here for your success moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it's you never want to see someone lose their job or multiple people. Obviously, you know, Jason, you know, hired me, but, you know, things changed. They went in a new direction. Yarmo, you know, made changes, but he's been really good. He's, you know, he has a presence to him. He shares a lot of the same values of, you know, what he looks for in players or how he wants our team to play. And we've had a really good working relationship. And then at the end of the day, the guys got to go play. The players don't really have a, you know, it doesn't really affect them necessarily, but how they need to play, and everybody's being evaluated. You know, all these players that were drafted or brought into the team were from the, you know, previous management. And now it's an opportunity for guys to prove themselves, but also prove, you know, that they're good players. And I think it's been really good so far.
Yeah, you've got a lot of things, objectives, win hockey here, but really ultimately it's about developing players and promoting them to Buffalo. So we just learned that Zach Jones getting the call up to the Sabres, and he's meant so much to your blue line this year. 2 goals, 28 assists, 30 points to lead the team. Coach, I would certainly think you would say that's well-deserved.
Yeah, he's been a really good part of our team, especially just, you know, we've had a lot of huge pieces out of the lineup, not just for a small amount of time. When you look at, you know, Dunnar, Oslin, Metz, you know, Carson Myers out, Komarov's out right now. I mean, there's been a lot of adversity this season, but the one mainstay back there has been Jonesy, and he's done a great job for us to help us produce, especially on the power play. If you look at our power play, you know, I think we're a top 3 power play in the team. Both special teams have been good for us all year and well deserving of him. And, you know, he's been great for us all year.
Mike, back to upper management for a second, because while we were clear that Jason Karmanos was the general manager of the Rochester Americans, I think there's a little bit of fog, and I'm curious if fans can get a little bit of clarity as to, you know, how is the structure working out? Is it Yarmo overseeing all of it, with Bergevin having, you know, his responsibilities focused on Buffalo and Flynn focusing on Rochester? Is Bergevin focused on Rochester? How does the power structure work now under Yarmo?
Yeah, actually right now, you know, I got a call from, you know, management, the decision when it was happened. So as of right now, myself have taken over, and, you know, I work a lot with Mark Jakubowski as of right now. And I think it's, you know, working with Yarmo, I have a lot of communication with him. You know, we've built a really good relationship over the last 8 months. I think trust is a big thing with him. And, you know, as of right now, I have the responsibility. So just taking it day by day, and, you know, until I think, you know, there's a lot of other things I think is on his to-do list first. I think eventually, you know, as partnership right now, working with him and then communicating with him and Mark Jakubowski. And then I think, you know, as time goes on, I don't think there's a timetable for it. I think this is how it's going to operate, as of right now.
The loss in Toronto, it comes down to the second period, right, Coach? Like, your thoughts on how your team played this past weekend?
Well, I thought we played really well. Anytime you score 4 goals on the road, you can't give up 6. You know, I think our goaltending could have, you know, anytime you go on the road and you have 30, six shots on net and you give up 25, especially after the first period, for sure we got to manage it better. Just, I think it's an immaturity with our group. You know, there's a lot of pieces that, you know, the Dunners, the Mets, not just on the ice, but in the locker room going into second periods. And, you know, a lot of guys that are really young that, you know, there's going to be some times where it's understanding how do you have to manage those games, how do you manage the shifts, and what you're willing to not give up to ultimately come out better in the second periods. You look at our first period, I think we're first in the league in goals scored. I think we're plus 18 in the first period. Second periods have been an issue. It definitely wasn't a, you know, great second period, but when you score four goals on the road, you should find a way to get a point.
So it's funny. I think the last time we spoke, you talked about that second period, the importance of the second period and not falling asleep during the second period. And you also mentioned goaltending. And while Devin's got a good record, 11-6-4, I think we all kind of view this year's performance and hold it up against last year's performance and want a little bit more. What's been the difference between Devin's performance last year and this year? Is it a psychological thing? We know goalies are freaks. What exactly is it, Mike?
Yeah, I would say it's probably the consistency in his game. There's been really, really good games. We believe in him. He's a really good goalie. I think there's areas of his game he has to improve. I think when you look at second periods, about you know, getting whistles at certain times and not rebounds in the slot, and you get a second, third opportunity, then they have the puck in the zone for 30 seconds. Those are game management, not just with our team, but also our goaltenders in areas where he can improve in those areas. And I think it's just finding consistency. And like I said before, I think it's good for players to go through adversity throughout the course of the season. Obviously, our lineup looks a lot different than what we had on paper at the start of the year. There's things that go into the second period if you don't have the puck as much. And we have guys playing the center position that have never played center position maybe in their whole life that are doing it at the pro level. It's difficult sometimes. And when you don't win faceoffs and you don't have the puck, there's areas of your game in the second period that, you know, you have to, in the second period, it's all about, you know, managing the game and taking risk out of your game and not hoping for offense. I mean, it's easier said than done. You have to ingrain it in your players that, you know, we don't need another goal or we don't need to push for offense. And if you look at the best teams in the NHL, AHL, like it's, you got to keep doing the right thing over and over before eventually you break down teams. And that's an area for sure we have to get better in the second periods. You look at our first and thirds, we're really good. We've done a really good job. And I think we're 46-2-1 in the last 2 years. If we have a lead going to the third period, there's no issue there. But our second period's maturity, growth in our game, and definitely has to get better the second half of the year.
Mike Leone, Amerks head coach, Amerks home Friday night against Laval. Tomorrow night, you'll be able to hear him on The Fan at Syracuse. Before we're talking about the week ahead here, Coach, just one question about, you know, the Sabres win streak. Very pleasant surprise that they could rattle 10 in a row. Do you guys feel that? I mean, it's one organization overall, but did that kind of lift your spirits in any way?
No, you like to see it, but I think it's with Yarmo's messaging too. I think it's great. You wouldn't have a 10-game road trip, but or 10-game streak, but you got to keep playing. I mean, if you stop the season now, you're out of the playoffs. Like I think when you have the mindset of just focusing on your next game, the next result, it was great for the organization. It's great to see the team work and compete and really defend well, close out games. It's great. But I think you just got to keep playing. I mean, you look at it now, you lose one game and you're 3 points out. It's just the same thing with our division. It could turn overnight. You know, Cleveland sweeps. You know, we have a higher percentage than us. They're 1 point. A lot can change really quick. So I think it's good. You feel good. You have confidence in yourself. But I think if you sit there and look and you feel good about yourself and you're patting yourself on the back, you can get into real trouble. It's a hard league. You look at the Eastern Conference and the NHL, you're probably going to have to get to a 600 winning percentage. You know, that's 6 out of 10 games you got to win, else you're probably not going to make it. So it's awesome. Everybody was really excited, happy. But I think it's, you know, with Yarmo's messaging, it's just worry about the next one.
Talk about how tight the North Division is, Coach. I mean, the Amherst sitting in fourth right now, but you're only a few points behind your opponent on Wednesday night in Syracuse, and things can change quickly. Talk a little bit about the crunch. It's a familiar opponent, obviously, going on the road and going into that hostile environment coming up here tomorrow night.
Yeah, they're a really good team. I'd have to say probably them and Lavelle are probably the two best teams in the league. You look at their underlying numbers, they're both of the two of the best defensive teams in the league. They're both score a lot of offenses. Their teams are built really well. They're healthy. They just played a Wilkes-Barre team and won 6-0 at home. They're a really good team. They're organized. They're hard to play against. They're big. They're heavy. So it'll be a big test for our group going to these last two games. And both teams are really, really good teams. It's probably since I've been here as far as how deep both rosters are right now with just the depth, the goaltending, the complete teams are two really good teams. Really good teams are well built, so it'll be a really, really good test for our group.
Mike, I got to ask you, what happened to your Detroit Lions this season? I didn't recognize that team turning the ball over at the end of the year.
Yeah, it was bad. It was tough. You can't give up 600 yards a game for 5 weeks in a row. That doesn't help. It was tough. I mean, everybody, you could say injuries, but everybody goes through injuries at that, especially at that, how violent of a sport it is. And you have to find ways to win. And when it mattered the most, they didn't find ways to win. And now, I mean, they ended up in last place in the division. Tough for sure.
Mike, can we stay in Michigan for a second and stay in the AHL? I know that you're not going to see these guys at any point this season unless it's down the road. Grand Rapids is 28-1 in the Central Division, an absolute wagon. In the AHL, in any professional league, how is that possible?
Really, really well-built team. You look at their team, they got eight guys on one-way contracts, eight guys that, You look at Gustafson and Hall. Those guys have played close to 1,000 games in the NHL, and they went with Young D up top. And then you have Ian Mitchell. He's played 250. And then you pretty much have eight Dunners up front, like guys like Josh Dunn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have eight of those and then you mix in a couple first-round talent, and you obviously have to play well. You have to be well-coached. You have to have good goaltending. But as far as a roster goes, I don't think I've seen a roster – that good in the American Hockey League. And then you sprinkle in the three first-round pick forwards that they have, and then you have, Sheldon Dries has played 100 games in the NHL. Austin Watson has played, close to 200, 250 games in the NHL. You get John Leonard from Charlotte, who is, a top-five player in the league, is playing NHL games. And then you have Dominic Schein, their captain, as a point-per-game player. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, they have more vets too that don't even play. It's just so, they set it up, and I know people in that organization, and they want to win, and they built the team the right way with also developing prospects, and hats off to them. It's I actually know their coach. I played for him in the East Coast Hockey League. He's a good man. He's a good coach, and credit to them. That's really hard to do.
Three games ahead this week at Syracuse tomorrow, Lavelle, and then a 3:00 puck drop in Belleville on Sunday. Do they not like NFL football in Belleville there, Coach?
Yeah, if you've been to Belleville, I don't know if they have TVs to watch football there, but it's a blue-collar place. That's arena. They made a coaching change. They're playing really well right now. Andrew Campbell has come in, has done a great job. New sense of urgency with the group. They're playing really good hockey right now. Even you look at Utica. Utica goes into Lavelle. I know everybody looks at the record. They got a really good lineup and outshot Lavelle by 20 and won 4-3. It's a really hard division. And Utica is a team that, if you follow the NHL team, they had eight guys out at one point. The New Jersey Devils. Now they got all those guys back. They have a really good roster. They have a good goaltending. So it's going to be, it's going to come down. It's going to be a grind the rest of the way for sure.
Coach, best of luck this weekend. Let's do it again next Tuesday. What do you say?
Sounds good. You guys have a good one.
Take care, Coach. There's Mike Leone, Rochester Americans head coach, with the stretch in front of his team here with Syracuse tomorrow night on the Fan Rochester. Back home Friday night against Laval before heading back on the road Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Belleville, the opponent. All of your Rochester Americans hockey action can be heard here on your proud home of Amherst Hockey, the Fan Rochester.
I think Belleville's local affiliates are actually Rochester, if I'm not mistaken. I've heard that, like, across the border. So,
oh, really? Where they don't have TVs? I congratulate Belleville on internet access in the year 2026. It's great. Really appreciate how candid Coach is with us when he comes in here. He's loose, and we can kind of read between the lines and figure out, okay, here's how it feels like it's working within the organization and with all the changes and with goaltending. You know, back
Levi was bad. He got pulled again, Danger.
Yep, that's right.
That was he like number one reason why they lost in Toronto. And he was being diplomatic, but that's...
Need a save.
I'm wondering where his head is at. And again, I go back to the report from the two guys that were on the Enforcers show, Andrew Peters being one of them. They would know that this kid, Levi, asked for a trade at the beginning of the season.
That's right. And I don't know. I mean, if you're interested in going somewhere else, you increase your value by playing really well. That's usually how it goes.
But when you're that age, you're maybe not in that mindset. Yeah. I don't know. But then goaltending is like golf sometimes. It comes and goes.
And with the release of Karmanos along with Kevin Adams, just hearing that it's Mark Jakubowski and Mike Leone kind of running things here for the Amherst, just a little bit of clarity for fans. You know, like, hey, look, if things fall apart, or, you know, you have, we always want to assess blame. The coach gets a lot of that, but you also have to look at upper management. And it sounds like Jakubowski is getting a crack at working with Leone here and working through this roster and managing this team.
Can you cue John Sterling here as we have some breaking news?
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
The Bills have signed a kicker to their practice squad. This was the guy they didn't choose. They chose Badgley. It's now Matthew Wright. Matthew Wright to the practice squad, the team releasing offensive lineman Richard Garage. Interesting note here, the team also signing Maddox Trujillo to a future contract, which means, okay, he'll be a Fisher next year if he stays on the 90-man roster. So Wright came in as a free agent with the Steelers in 2019, and not a lot of the experience other than just kind of bouncing around from team to team to team.
Well, from a percentage standpoint, there's only one kicker that's out there that has a higher make percentage, and it's somebody that we've brought up, and every time we bring it up, everyone's like, I don't know about Justin Tucker. Matthew Wright, an 88% make rate.
Do you think the NFL has kind of a list like, no, we're not doing that.
I don't think anybody will ever admit that, but yes.
Yeah. But I would think like that would be one like, okay, you're blackballed here.
Right. Can you get something under the radar? Like the punt god signing in Kansas City was after all of the legal stuff kind of worked itself out.
Correct.
And you forgot about it because it was a punter in the preseason, and who even remembers Matt Ariza's dilemma, you know, his legal troubles. This one is Justin Tucker, you could argue, is a Hall of Famer.
You could, but I would also argue this, Danger. It's week 19 in the NFL season now. And sure, you can look at video or maybe try him out. It's a little risky. At least you've been tracking this guy here for over a month and right. So it's a safer play with this kid, even though we really don't know much about him, in my opinion.
Well, I think he's gotten cracks, but he hasn't stuck. And this will be an opportunity if indeed Prater can't go. And I would actually just say don't even risk it. I mean, if there's even a chance that Prater's hurt or does to you what he did in week 18, why? You just sign this guy to the practice squad, elevate him, get him out there, and let's see if he can perform in the clutch.
You can't go with Matt Prater. I don't even know why we're entertaining this.
That's right. Let's talk more Bills with our buddy Michael F. Florio. You see his work on NFL Network, does fantasy football for NFL Network, and he's also Bills Mafia, the sick podcast with Stevie Stiles. Michael F. Florio next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.